Thank you, Sarah. We end with news stories of a food hall chippy pops up, jobs are saved as the body shop remains open, and a paramedic's knife point 999 ordeal.
A Norfolk ambulance worker has described how he feared for his life when he was taken hostage at knife point by a man who had called claiming to be suffering from chest pains. The East of England Ambulance Service Trust paramedic attended a home at Humble Yard in the Clover Hill area of Norwich after a call from Daniel Howard, who said he was suffering from chest pains. Norwich Crown Court heard the lone paramedic entered the property before Howard went into the kitchen and picked up a knife and stood in the doorway blocking the exit, stating, "I want to hurt someone." Ian James, prosecuting, said Howard approached the paramedic and held the knife about a foot away from his face. Howard again said he wanted to hurt someone, and when asked by the paramedic if he wanted to hurt him, the defendant said that he did. The paramedic, who hit his panic button in a bid to alert colleagues, tried to get Howard into the living room and pleaded with the defendant to put the knife down, adding, "Let me help you." But Mr. James said Howard, who attempted to cut his wrists during the incident, held the knife up and told the paramedic, "You're not leaving." The paramedic repeatedly asked Howard to put the knife down, but he refused to during the incident, which lasted about 15 minutes. The paramedic said he needed to get a piece of equipment from his vehicle to assist Howard and left the property, calling the police, who arrived shortly after to arrest the defendant. Jailing Howard for 25 months, Recorder Fitches said he had caused the paramedic serious and ongoing distress and insisted health workers must be able to carry out their jobs without fear of being attacked. She did, however, concede the offence was in part due to his mental health and that he had not intended to hurt or imprison the paramedic.
Canary's hero, Grant Holt, kick-started some colourful celebrations as Norfolk's largest indoor events venue was relaunched after a £1 million upgrade. The former Norwich City striker said it was a pleasure and honour to cut the ribbon at the refurbished and extended Norfolk Events Centre at the Norfolk Showground. The cavernous exhibition hall staged entertainment from musicians, aerial performers and stilt walkers while guests explored the new facilities. The venue, formerly known as the Norfolk Arena, now has extra space for breakout rooms, kitchens, bars, toilets and storage after a 9-month project. The site is owned by the Royal Norfolk Agricultural Association, RNAA, which hosts major events including the Royal Norfolk Show. But the organisation is keen to establish the showground as a premier destination for year-round events of all sizes. The event centre revamp is part of a strategy to maximise commercial income from the showground to help the RNAA to achieve its charitable objectives of promoting the county's food, farming and countryside. The flexible design means the venue can be reconfigured in different sizes to meet the needs of a more diverse range of events. The extension was the second phase of a project, which also included a £200,000 investment in solar panels on the roof, capable of generating 102% of the site's energy needs.
Norwich's Body Shop is set to remain open, despite the chain going into administration amid predictions of widespread store closures. The Castle Street outlet is one of only a handful of body shops which are operated as a franchise, so will keep its doors open even as others are closed. James Bercovici, who owns the Norwich franchise, said, "As franchisees, we're not part of this. If the body shop is closing down stores to save cost on rent, we deal with that ourselves. We'll definitely be staying open. Our understanding is the body shop brand will keep going and continue to supply our shops with their products. We expect to continue as the body shop with nothing changing as far as Norwich is concerned." The UK arm of the body shop entered administration this week, threatening stores across the country and more than 2,000 jobs. The body shop was founded in 1976 by Dame Anita Roddick and her husband Gordon, championing environmental causes and opposing animal testing. The Norwich store has been a family-owned franchise since 1981. Mr. Bercovici, who operates the City Shop, as well as two stores in Cambridge, he added, "Our business is doing fine. Our recovery post-COVID was pretty good, and we're still here and intend to be into the future."
An award-winning fish and chip brand has opened a pop-up kitchen in a Norwich food hall. Chef Eric Snaith has branches of Eric's Fish and Chips in Thornham and Holt in Norfolk and St Ives in Cambridgeshire. The former is a finalist in the Restaurant of the Year category at the upcoming National Fish and Chip Awards 2024. The brand has now expanded into Norwich for a six-week residency at Yarm in the Royal Arcade, where sister business Eric's Pizza is permanently based. The menu at Eric's Fish and Chips in Yarm includes beer-battered haddock, cod nuggets, chips, halloumi, and spinach, arancini, and black pudding fritters. There are also sweet treats with battered Mars bars, cookie dough, and the deep-fried jam sandwich that is loved by Chef Delia Smith. Mr. Snaith said, "Expert classic fish and chips focused on quality, which includes local beer in our batter. This is our great opportunity for us to bring our team here and offer a taste of Eric's Fish and Chips for 6 weeks." Mr. Snaith also has Eric's Pizza in Thornham, and he is the owner of the executive chef at Titchwell Manor.
A graffiti message has appeared at Anglia Square after recent plans to demolish it were abandoned. "Long live HMSO" was spray-painted across the wall of Sovereign House in Bottle Street, around a week after the £300 million revamp of the Anglia Square shopping centre was scrapped by developers. HMSO refers to His Majesty's Stationery Office, a government service that used Sovereign House as its headquarters from 1968 when the building was first completed. It remained there until the mid-1990s when the service became privatised and the building was left to fall into disrepair. Once home to more than 800 workers, the building has long been a source of controversy, as city folk either view the building as a dilapidated eyesore or a nostalgic example of post-war brutalist architecture. The building, which towers over Anglia Square, was set to be demolished as part of the recent redevelopment scheme of the site, which was due to create 1,100 new homes, as well as office, retail and leisure space.
And that's all for this edition of Chatterbox. We do hope you have enjoyed listening. A gentle reminder that when you have finished listening to this recording, please return the memory stick to us by popping it in the wallet, turning over the address label and putting it in the postbox. There is no postage to pay. You know we always like to hear from you with any feedback or news, so do get in touch with us on the office number 01603 765 365 or email us at contact@cbtn.org.uk. The office is only manned on Thursdays, which is our production day. So if there is no reply, do leave a message and we will return your call as soon as we can. Thanks go to our loyal team of volunteers who make up the production team and to Catherine Rose, the sound recordist, and editor Sarah Lusher. So it's goodbye from me, Carolyn Sayer.
And from me, Matthew Tucker, goodbye. And don't forget to keep listening for the February podcast from Chris Skinner.